The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
Gentlemen, welcome. My name is Ferry Doon. I'm a member of Elmbrook, and I have the pleasure to introduce to you Mike Moran, who is the senior pastor at Kettlebrook Church. I've just sat through two sessions that he's done. I've told him that I've taken two pages of notes, which were absolutely wonderful, and I know I can put to use beginning today. So please give him a warm welcome.
Great to be here. This is really, really weird because I'm back in the room that I used to meet for high school youth group when I was a member of this church. And Bob is still here, and he was my youth leader when I was in youth group. So it's like, this is like, what does Yogi Berra say? It's like deja vu all over again. The topic of this seminar is multi-site church planting. And I just want to kind of get a feel of where everybody's at. Are any of you at a church that's thinking of going to multi-site? Anyone want to share their experience? Steve?
Yeah, I'm part of a church in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, west of here. And we're getting ready. We're looking at doing a church plant. It would be actually our second one. And just kind of looking at possibility of, you know, how it's going to be set up, whether it be multi-church or...
Great. Glad you're doing that.
Or, you know, just completely on its own. But, in fact, there's a conference going on in Florida right now. A couple is being evaluated for the Great Lakes.
Okay. This is Converge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Converge, yeah.
Yep.
To see if they're, you know, going to be accepted as taking this new lead.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's key, is the identification of the right people. Right couple there. So,
Randy, what are you guys doing?
I'm an elder at Cross Point, Oconomowoc.
Okay.
We're in the very early stages of thinking about multi-site, probably towards Watertown area. But at this point, we're just praying about it and sending people over there and exploring.
Yeah. Glad to hear that Cross Point is thinking about that.
Yeah.
I know Doug Jared, who's the regional guy for the CMA.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I should identify a Real Hope Community Church.
Real Hope. Not too far from one another.
Yeah.
Right. Anyone else? The Lutheran in the back? Multi-site?
We're rare for Lutherans, yeah.
All right, yeah.
We just made the decision. We are postponing church doing the multi-site move. Instead, we're going to do expansion on-site.
Okay.
We had some land open. We didn't expect land to open up. Land opened up, so we'll do on-site.
It's tough to do two things at one time.
Yeah, we decided. Yeah. Too much to bite off doing both at the same time. But it'll certainly, we think, will be in our future.
What did you say? Did you have your hand up?
I'm just interested.
Interested, yeah. Okay. You guys?
I'm ready.
Good. Okay.
I'm working with a church in Houston, actually.
Houston?
Wow. Just left there. They're looking at multi-site church planning. And that's one of the reasons I have to establish outreaches, but I kind of wanted to get some inside information.
Okay.
And take it back. Yeah.
What, Brookline Church in Bougainville, I'm looking at off-site outreach.
Sure.
So that we can reach more people and then eventually get them interested if they wish to come to the home church, fine. If not, then we'll continue to work outside.
Great. Great to hear that vision's still hot there, even after Jason. And what was
We're Converge Church in Antioch, Illinois, Northbridge, and we've planted multiple churches. And
sure, you have Gary. Gary is your church planter.
Well, and our church pastor is coaching, and we planted that actually birthed from our own, but now we're finally building our own facility, and we're wondering what's next after that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is it continuing to plant? Is it some other multi-site type of format?
Wonderful. Well, just a little bit about myself. My wife and I, about a year and a half after we got married, we moved overseas to Siberia to be church planting missionaries there. Planted a couple of churches there. One survived, one didn't. And then I came back to this area in 2004 to help plant the first granddaughter church of this church, Elmbrook Church. So in the 80s, Elmbrook went into a church planting binge. They planted Eastbrook Church, Westbrook Church, Northbrook Church in like 85, and then they ran out of directions after that. But none of those churches had ever planted another church. And so we came on staff to help Northbrook launch that initiative. one of our first things is we made this rule that we want the church to be based on small groups. So we want everyone to be a part of a small group, which is a new thing for some of the people who are coming from Northbrook Church to be a part of this church. And we had two really good evangelistic thrusts when we came back here. They were our son PJ and daughter Maggie. We put them into the evil school system, you know, there. And there they made all sorts of friends. And we became friends with their friends' parents and started doing life with them. Most of them did not go to church at all. So we started inviting them over for dinners and formed kind of this community through, you know, Halloween parties and stuff like that. And then eventually we decided to have this barbecue. And I'll never forget the barbecue that we had. We had all these people over, and we kind of sat them out on our back porch. We said, listen, you guys know I'm starting this church. One of the rules that I've made up as the pastor is that you have to be in a small group. I don't really want to be in a small group with a bunch of church people, because that's really boring.
Yes.
Okay, so, but you guys are our friends, so would you help us kind of fulfill this requirement and kind of be our small group? And to our amazement, they said, yes, we'd love to. And one gal that we invited over, her and her husband's actually here today, her contribution to the barbecue was a brandy slush. And so she was mixing up this brandy slush, and she says to me, she says, this is great. If we do this small group thing, I could go on the internet and find a different slush for every night that we meet. So I'm like, that would really get the conversation going, you know, something like that. But in that first year of existence, you know, everybody who wasn't a Christ follower beforehand had become a Christ follower. And these guys had come, I remember they all had to go out and get new Bibles because the Bibles that they had were from their confirmation class when they were like in fifth grade, and they're showing each other how they signed their name in fifth grade and glue was cracking and stuff like that. And we were kind of off to the races, and we launched in 2005, and then in 2008, we as an elder board, as a leadership, began dreaming about the possibility of impacting the surrounding communities around us, because we knew that even though the city of Jackson, or the village of Jackson, was just 10 miles to the south of West Bend, we knew that even if we inundated their mailboxes full of glossy brochures and postcards inviting them to come up to West Bend for church, they just weren't going to come. They just weren't interested. But we knew from our experience in West Bend that if we started a church in Jackson, that people who weren't currently going to church would come. And we knew that from our experience. But we thought about, you know, how would we do this? Because it takes a lot of effort to duplicate resources, to duplicate, you know, staff and vision and values and all of that. And I remember we took a day to go away from prayer and fasting as an elder board, and we came up with this idea of, why don't we do another service, but just have the service in a different location? And we came up with this phrase. We can say we're one church meeting in two locations. And we thought we were really novel. Like, we thought we were avant-garde, cutting edge. And then we began to look into this whole phenomenon around us and realize that almost every church that was growing in the United States at that time was doing multi-site. And some of them were doing like 4, 5, 6. So one church had gone to 11 services. And what we thought was so novel and cutting edge was not so novel and cutting edge. But it seemed to be a God thing. It seemed to be a thing that God was beginning to do, and that we were just kind of coming in on the tail end of that. We were praying about what we want to do in Jackson. We told people we were looking for a site pastor, someone who would launch that initiative. And I was in a prayer meeting on a Tuesday morning with this small prayer group that meets at our church. And I said, and I was talking to God in this group and kind of describing to God the person we wanted. You know, the pastor that we wanted. He said, he's got to, you know, be theologically sound, but yet understand how to connect with non-believers. He's got to be young, because it's a young community down there. We want him to connect with the community. And I'm like listing all this stuff. And the gal next to me, it was an older gal, she just stops and she says, I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, but I just need to be obedient. The name Ryan Latour comes to my mind. Now, Ryan Latour was one of our supported church planters who was trying to plant a church in the inner city of Milwaukee. Actually, not inner city. He was in the Mitchell Park Domes area. And they were slugging it out, trying to form this mosaic church that was multicultural, multi-ethnic, but no one on their team spoke Spanish, which was a drawback. And so so I'm like, well, you're faithful to say his name. I'm at least, I don't think wild horses could draw, you know, drag Ryan away from what he's doing, but I'm going to do it anyways. Had a lunch with Ryan. Seemed like it was this, you know, Kairos God moment where his family was ready to say, what's next for us, God? We've given it a good, you know, 2 years here. We haven't seen any fruit. What might be next? And so they came and joined our team, and we launched our first site, Kettlebrook Jackson, in January 2010. Just serendipitously, at the same time, Jackson, the town of Jackson, the village of Jackson, just another God thing, combined with the Boys and Girls Club of Washington County, all threw in money to form a community center that should have never been built. It was the, if you talk to anybody on the city government, they said this should have never happened. You had to have three entities come together to pour in money to this thing. And when they opened up the plans for this community center, I was looking at it going, they've built our church. this is a church. And so we became an anchor tenant in that community center. We've been there ever since there in Jackson. Then about 3 years later, we launched another site up in Kewaskum, to the about 8 miles to the north of West Bend. And again, we are all about local churches, okay? We know that people will not make that drive, and these are not big communities. You know, Jackson is about 4,000 or 5,000 people. Kewaskum is about the same, but about 3.5 in the city center, and then the surrounding area grows about double that. And so these sites are not going to get huge. They're not going to get large. We've got about 120, 125 people worshiping at each site. But they each have their own campus pastor, their own site pastor. And now we're kind of laying plans to see what would it look like for us to move into the city of Hartford, which is, again, not too far from us. So that's kind of our journey as a church of going multi-site. I'm the lead pastor, and so I travel to all three sites right now, and so I'll be at one site one day, 1 week, and then I'll be at maybe two sites the other week. So what the way it works is I can preach in West Bend first at the 9 o'clock service. I get done, leave, drive down to Jackson to preach first at their 10 o'clock service. So then they have worship afterwards, and then I get done there, drive back to West Bend, preach last at the 10:30 service because they have all the music first. And then at 11 o'clock, I'll be on to preach, you know, for the end of that service. We call that Superman Sunday when I do that. Try not to do that too much. But so all of our teaching is live. We have not gone into this whole, embarked into this whole video thing. My hat's off to the people who are doing that. You know, God bless them. I'm amazed at what they're able to pull off. But we just feel like in these small places, towns like Jackson and Kewaskum, that people just aren't going to show up to see, you know, Mike Moran on a screen speak or anything like that. So we try to make it live as much as possible. So very rarely do we go to video. I just want to talk about the reason for multi-site. What are the reasons for going to multi-site, and then we'll go a little bit into the handout that I have there.
Hey, really quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You said three churches right now?
Three churches, yeah.
You preach at all three?
Yeah. So often? they all, I'd say I'm about 40% at each one of them, because I'm able to do two at one Sunday. So I can do West Bend and Kewaskum on one Sunday, or I can do West Bend and Jackson on one Sunday. But if I'm in, you know, if I'm just in Kewaskum, I can't do that in Jackson. So we share, I'll be skipping around, but we can do this here, right? You know, we don't have to follow the form. So, but if you look, on the back of the thing, there's some economies of scale that you get with going multi-site that you are able to leverage being one church that if you're doing a pure church plant, you would have to duplicate all of these systems if you're doing a whole brand new church plant. So this is why I love doing multi-site. Everybody on my staff loves doing multi-site. They love being a part of a team. We have 4 full-time pastors. We have a handful of part-time pastors. They love being part of a team. On any given Sunday morning, we know at any of our Kettleburg locations, we have the group broken into thirds. About a third of the people are longtime believers, been with us for a while. A third of the people are brand new believers, growing their faith, trying to figure it out. And a third are not believers at all. And we're thrilled with those people that are coming that are not yet believers, that they've found us, that they've discovered us, that we're trying to create an environment where they can, you know, take steps in their faith. But these are the economies of scale, that the things that we get to leverage by being one church. We have one vision, one values. You do not have to make that up. In fact, we won't let you make it up. It's like if you're going to be Kettlebrook, you need to buy into our vision of Kettlebrook, and you need to buy into the core values of Kettlebrook. And everybody does. It's not like we're forcing them. They want to be a part of this. Vision values. Our children's programming is under the guidance of one children's pastor. She sets the curriculum for all the sites. She decides what those Sunday school programs are going to do, and then it's up to the children's ministry at those respective sites to implement that curriculum, that programming. We have one preaching calendar. Myself and the 3 site pastors come together, and we bring all of our best ideas of what we feel God is calling us to teach as pastors of this community called Kettlebrook. And then we have a big arm wrestling match as to what we're going to preach on over the next year. And we come up with our series sermons, our sermon series, what we want to speak on, and then we begin to divvy it up. And within those that preaching calendar, we know that there's certain times of the calendar we're going to have a lot of visitors, okay? Directly after Christmas and the first of the year, you're going to have a lot of visitors. New Year's resolutions, tend to that church always goes up after January. September, October, some places in September, but if the weather's still nice in Wisconsin in September, non-believers don't start checking out church until October. So for us, October is another key time. So we have series, you know, during those months for seekers that are directed towards people. How to find your way back to God, you know. We did one called No Perfect People Allowed. You know, and it talked about how Jesus connected with, you know, unperfect people, people who are broken, who are, you know, all sorts of that. So we try to have one preaching calendar, and then we implement that at all 3 locations. We have one teaching team. So on any given Sunday, the idea is that if you go to West Bend or if you go to Jackson or if you go to Pewaska, you're going to hear roughly the same message. Okay, it's going to be that guy's spin on it. It's going to be his own illustrations. But the pastors then come together collectively to collaborate on their work. So they'll go away, they'll study the passage, and then on Tuesday, the guys who are preaching will come together. They'll have a short meeting. How are you taking this passage? What illustrations are you using? And this is amazing. I don't know of any other church that does this. Usually what you have is the pastor goes away with his Bible, studies the passage, has to hear from God, and then he goes and delivers it. This is done in a collective way, in a collaborative way. And so the big idea, the text and the big idea will be the same at each site. Okay, whether you go to Hewaskum, whether you go to West Bend, it'll be the same. But you're going to be hearing it through, you know, that guy's voice and through that guy's experience. We have one leadership structure. We have one elder board. You don't have to duplicate the elder board. In fact, that's one of the things that gets new churches into hot water faster than anything else. You know, when Paul says to Timothy, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands for elders, he meant it, okay? I have seen young churches who have been out of the block for a year, and they're rushed to have an elder board because they know they should have one at some point, and they appoint the wrong guys to be on the elder board. Guys that don't buy into the vision or the values of the church, they're not living out the values of the church. I mean, for us,
if you're going to be on the elder board, you've got to be a small group leader, because that means you're buying into our value of small groups. That's our whole farm system. We have about 30 small groups. That's our farm system for elders. You need to be buying into that. You need to be engaged in the community, because we value serving our community, being salt and light to our community. So those are things that we're looking at. We want guys that are bought into the values of the church. And so we have one elder board. We have about 7 elders right now. But we try to have representation from each one of those sites. So we have a guy from Kewaskum. We have a guy from Jackson. West Bend is our largest site with about 500 people.
Sorry to ask a question.
Yeah, please go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
So that elder then is part of that particular church. He's there every Sunday.
He's there every Sunday.
Comes back to the whole elder board group.
Yes.
Work together, pray together, and
exactly.
He's out there with the people.
Right. And so we know that we have then as an elder board, we know we have eyes and representation at any given site. We know, so Kurt is on the elder board and he attends our Jackson site. So he knows what's going on at the Jackson site. Steve is up at our Kewaskum site. And again, we have the biggest chunk of our people are at West Bend. So about 5 of our elders come from the West Bend site.
How big is your board then?
Right now we have 7 elders. So I think by our constitution we go up to 12, but we don't want to drop below 5.
Are they the ones that do most of the preaching then?
No, it's the site pastors. Site pastor. We will bring elders on to preach on occasion. I think that's a good idea as a pastor. They always appreciate me a lot more. It's good to have your elder board appreciate you. And there's no better way of doing that than have them give a message. So go ahead.
I'm getting a sense, I'm really unfamiliar with this, but I'm getting a sense that this works partly because culturally those 3 communities are very alike. Is that true?
That could be. It may be, yeah. When we go to Hartford.
Could you repeat the question?
Sure. He said it seems like this may work because these communities are very similar. Yes and no. They're similar in the fact that we're all in Washington County. We're not very diverse. We're pretty homogenous. But at the same time, West Bend is very stable. On days like Easter and Mother's Day, people come home and our attendance rises on Mother's Day. Whereas in Jackson, on holidays like Easter and Mother's Day, attendance actually goes down because no one's from Jackson. Everybody goes somewhere else, home, on those days. Kewaskum is definitely much more of a, even though it's still in Washington County, it's kind of a county seat in that area. So we have people come down from Campbellsport, Lamira. It's a much more regional campus than West Bend, where it's almost just West Bend there. So there's subtle differences. When we start Hartford, it might be fairly different. But so right now, the way we've got it set up, is that it works really good to have one elder board, and we all, it's a strong elder board, because we're not saying this church needs to have an elder board, this church. We just wouldn't have the leadership available. We would have to really lower the bar on who's going to be an elder, and that gets you into hot water, really, because if they don't share the values.
Do they have their own, each one have their own, like, music worship team and all the people who do the volunteer work in
yes.
Sunday school and nursery and everything is kind of separate?
Yeah, the real bottleneck to going multi-site is not a speaker. We have no problems finding preachers. It's artists. Mm-hmm. It's worship artists. It's people who play guitar, who sing, who have a passion for music worship in that way. That's what you need to duplicate, and that's what you need to replicate. And so part of the things you need to think of as you go multi-site is systems, okay? What is our system? What is our farm system for developing people who play guitar? We've told people, if you have a desire to learn how to play guitar and your intent is to help us lead worship on Sunday mornings or play drums or something like that, we'll go half with your lessons. Go down to the local music store, get lessons. We'll supplement it by 50%. Now, we'd love to have the capacity to bring that all in-house and say, we'll give you lessons. And sometimes we've done that. We have a bass player who's just a great teacher, and he's willing to teach anybody bass because there's never enough bass players.
So each site has their own music worship teams. We have our own affinity groups. So youth is all done centrally. So when we have youth groups, we have kids coming from Kewaskum, Jackson, West Bend. Women's group is done centrally. Men's group is done centrally. So even though we're one church in multiple locations, the affinity groups then all come together, and that allows us to kind of leverage our leadership in that way. Web and computer systems, and then central services like human resources, payroll, accounting, all that is done. We have one general fund, and we have one missions fund. International missions is another thing that we share. We share the same partners, international partners, same ministries that we're involved with around the world. We share as a church. So when you're a site, you know you're going to have Dave and Becky Heidenreich as missionaries. You know you're going to have Genny and Sony Bagu as missionaries. That's just part of the shared concept.
Just to confirm, when you do youth group or like a big men's ministry gathering, that all comes back to West Bend. And your youth, they're all collecting in from you.
Yes. You know, we don't like to say West Bend. It's done centrally. If we find that there's a better place to do it, like right now we do the Boys and Girls Club. We're all of our sites right now are nomadic. So we rent at two schools and at a community center. Now we're just building, we're building a community center for West Bend. We've taken over an old grocery store, and we're transforming it into a community center. The senior center for Washington County is going to be housed out of there. The family center for Washington County is going to be housed out of there. Meals for Wheels is going to be run out of the kitchen. And, oh, yeah, there's this weird group that meets here on Sunday mornings. I think they're a church. You know? So that's kind of the idea behind it. So our office. But that will allow us for the first time to have our own venue for things like youth. And for things like women's and stuff like that. So
I'm confused. Is that the original church?
That's the original church. Now, one of the things we try not to say is we try not to use language. And we studied some best practices of churches that have been doing this for years. We try not to say things like the main church or the main site,
right.
the mothership. We don't say that. Yes. It's one church meeting in three locations. Yeah. They're all expressions of the body of Christ. And one of the things that we had to do from the very beginning is, and we got this from Community Christian Church in Naperville, is that when we went from one church to two church, they told us, they said, if you are going to go to two churches, then you, if me as lead pastor, I stay at the main site, at the main campus, then that will always be seen as a hub and spoke mentality, okay? That you're always going to be seen as the main thing. So what you need to do is when you hire a site pastor at one site, you need to hire a site pastor at the other site, and you're now lead pastor over both of them. And that was probably one of the best things that we ever did. So we promoted our small groups pastor, said you're now the site pastor of West Bend. We hired the site pastor for Jackson, and I became kind of the glue, the common DNA. We wanted people to know that when we were launching Jackson in 2010, it's not like you're not going to get Mike, okay? It's not like you're going to just hear Ryan every single Sunday, and Mike's going to stay at West Bend. Mike's going to be at all, at both sites at that point, and then when we started Kewaskum, at all three sites. Most of my preaching now is primarily vision casting. So the site pastors are always, they're the face of the place. That's what we call them. They're the face of the place. They take care of visitors. They follow up on visitors. They lead all the teams, all the service teams. So they meet with their children's leaders, their worship leaders, their usher leaders. They take care of all that. The Sunday morning is their deal. That's their responsibility.
Could you elaborate more on vision casting?
Yeah. So elaborate more on vision casting. Yeah. When I'm speaking, I'm typically casting vision for who we are as a church. What does it mean to be a Kettlebrook church? And so Jason Webb, who's the pastor of this church, Elmbrook, has said to me, he says, Mike, you really don't preach on anything but the kingdom of heaven. You just kind of repackage it in different ways and market it in different ways. And I'm like,
is there a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of like Jesus' main thing. But we, you know, we'll go through and we'll talk about, you know, we did a series called Church 101. And we said, you know, what does it mean to be a church? And we looked at all the I am statements that Jesus made about himself. He says, you know, I am the light of the world. Or not the I am statements, it's I have come. I have come to seek and save the lost. I have come to preach the kingdom of heaven. You know, I have come. And we looked at about five different statements, and we said, hey, listen, if Jesus came to do this, and we're now the body of Christ here on earth, then his mandate is our mandate. What he came to do, we came to do. And so if he says, I have come, you know, to seek and save the lost, then that's what we are as a church. We're here. We should be seeking and saving lost people. We should be concerned about that as the heart of God. If he said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, then we need to be ready to serve our community. What does it look like to serve the regions that we're in? And one of the things we want each of our sites to be known for is we want to be known as good news. Not just that Kewaskum would be known as that group of people who rents the theater in the high school on Sunday mornings, but we want Kewaskum to be known for something else. We want to be known to be good news, to serve, you know, their respective communities. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
So, yeah.
What do you call them? You see, you don't call them the main church. Do you call them by the city, like the Jackson Church, or what do you use for labels?
Yeah, we say the Jackson site, the West Bend site, or the Kewaskum site.
Okay.
So, and Paul here, he's my chairman, I'm elder, so he's going to keep me honest.
I'm here to see what he's learned through the process.
if he's learned anything through the process,
yeah. Sure. I realize we're kind of running the...
Thanks for taking our questions. Clarification on so as you have a teaching team, three or four sites right now. Each of them have a site pastor.
Yep.
And you as well. And so each week they're preaching, but every week all of you get together on Tuesday and speak of what text.
Sure.
I guess I have like two questions. You can tack them when you want.
Yeah.
So occasionally you'll be preaching in different churches at different times. Otherwise they're preaching.
Yep. Yeah.
And then as far as coming up with determining the series, you get together kind of once a year?
Once a year.
Really planning that out? What does that look like?
We'll get together in the summer. And we know that, you know, we know in September we want to have a vision series. Because your non-believers haven't started coming back to church yet. But everybody who's core and central to your church, you're kicking off a brand new ministry year. Our ministry year, of course, runs September to the end of May. So you're kicking off a brand new ministry year. So that's vision right there. So what's our vision series going to be? And then you want to follow up that for us. October is your main time that you're getting back to, you know, seekers coming to check you out. That's when, if we do an advertising blitz or a campaign, we'll start sending out postcards at the end of September, because people will start looking at getting back into church in October. So your October series is primarily a seeker series. And then November we get into our Missions Fest, and by December you're ramping up towards Christmas, whatever that series wants to be. We don't want to do just topical series. We want to do series that'll work through a book of the Bible. So right now we're just starting Ephesians 1 and 2. Because we want people to know, and again, we think in terms of three chairs. Well, I don't need to write three chairs in there, but the three chairs are, again, your person, your first chair is someone who's brand new or to things of faith. They're not even a believer yet.
Yeah.
They're just kicking the tires. Second chair is someone who's been walking with Jesus for a while, but they're still fairly new. They need to learn the foundations and to grow. And your third chair is your more established believer. And so over the course of the year, we want to know that we're hitting each one of those chairs. It's possible, but it's difficult to, in one sermon, hit all three. You know, if you're Stuart Briscoe, you might be able to do it. Okay, but what we want to do is we try to hit all three of those chairs over the course of a season or a semester. So, like right now, we're in Ephesians 1 and 2. We're not even going to get into 3 and 4. We're just Ephesians 1 and 2. We're talking about identity in Christ, who we are in Christ.
And that's primarily aimed at second-tier people, okay? You're new. This is what it means to be in Christ. This is what it means to be adopted into God's family. This means to have the slate completely wiped clean. This is what it means. So that's geared towards that. And we want people to know this is what it looks like to systematically work through a book. If you're just topical, and I'm not against topical preaching, you know, if you want to kind of help people understand this is how the Bible applies, you can do topical. But we want to do both topical and we want to do systematic and working through a book. And then your vision series is primarily aimed at these people who have been in the church way too long and need to get in the game, you know. So it's like most of the times when I preach at the third chair, it's kicking them in the butt and saying, hey, you should be discipling somebody. You know, you've been a believer for 30 years and you've never discipled somebody. That means you're being disobedient to, you know, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Okay, so find somebody.
You mentioned now best practices, and I'm hearing some language that I think I've been familiar with other churches as well. Everything like three chairs, does that come out of Ed Young's church? Or
yes, I got that back in 2004 or 2005.
So,
but it made total sense. We've consistently gone back to Community Christian Church, and doggone it, I have free books for you guys. I brought them. I'll try and get them. If you can stick around, I'll go around and get them, bring them back. Community Christian Church has, I think they've done the best that I know at this. They started out doing video, but now they're all live.
Good.
Yeah,
really?
At their sites.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they wrote a book called Exponential, which there's two chapters in there on multiplying multi-site church. It's by Dave and John Ferguson, and I have...
Where are the books?
The books are in a red Sendix bag that is up in the speaker's lounge. Thanks. Yeah, very much. So that would be best. Another one that's doing it very well is Seacoast. Yeah, they've got like 18 sites, yeah. But what Seacoast does is a little bit different than what I would do. Yeah. Is Seacoast, each site has its own flavor. So if you're young, you go to the young church. And if you're traditional, you go to the traditional church. And I just think that feeds into the whole narcissism of our society. Mm-hmm. Is that I want to go to a church that's all about me, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, what we try to do is we try to keep our sites pretty diverse as far as age and as far as, you know, income and stuff like that. But so we don't do that. This is the hip church, this is the more contemporary church and stuff like that.
So other things from that everything from society versus location and all those.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about beg, borrowing, and stealing. Anyone that's doing things well, you know. Andy Stanley is a master at systems, and his book before we launched, we read like the five practices. Mm-hmm. It's just great stuff. I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than make my. I know I'm going to make my own mistakes, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather learn from somebody else's if I can. Randy,
it just seems to me the live would always be better than video. But since there's a lot of video churches, and it's kind of self-sense way you do it when you first. You know anything more about that? Any more studies on that, or books on that?
You know, if you talk to Andy Stanley, he'll tell you that he tries to get around to all of the sites that do video, and when he does, he said inevitably, when he's there, people are like, Andy, thanks for coming by and visiting Buckhead Church. You know, that's great, but to tell you the truth, I like you more better on the screen.
Really?
You know, it's weird. Half the time, at big churches like this one here, I mean, I couldn't even see the speaker live today. So half the time, you're looking at the screen anyways. But this is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to raise up the next generation of speakers. And I have always said, I don't want to diss whatever anybody else is doing, but you hear a lot of churches talking about excellence, all right? And I'm all for trying as hard as you can. But excellence can become perfection. Mm-hmm. And perfection can be a terrible taskmaster sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we, at each one of our sites, we look at ourselves as an extended family gathering. This is the family gathering. You know, and there's going to be hiccups, and we're going to make mistakes. I had a friend come and be a guest speaker at our West Bend site, and you know, I was about ready to dismiss the crowd, and my ushers are going, they're waving the baskets, going, public, oh, wait, we almost didn't take an offering. Hey, we're going to take an offering, you know. And, you know, and it was not a big deal. I mean, not a big, we do stuff like that all the time. And I sat down with my friend, and he said, if I did that at my church, that would have been a Monday morning conversation. And I'm like, really? Yeah, that's too bad. You know, so... So we're not about excellence. We got messy lives. Our gatherings are going to reflect that at times, but we do want to make it real and say, the point I was getting to. I would rather have an elder speak and hit a single than invite Steve Sonderman to come and preach in my church and hit a home run. Because what that conveys is that in order to get up and speak and teach, you need to have a special gifting. You need to be professional. When I'd rather have a guy who's a computer programmer say, I've been reading the scripture, and this is what God told me, and people realize, thanks so much, guys.
Oh, this is any good.
The coffee's probably pretty old.
I've got a question. In your planning, as you look into the future, do you see these churches becoming completely separate at some point, or do you feel the long-term strategy with multi-site churches like this is that they will always be connected together?
You know, if we were to ever plant further away, like, sorry, there's not enough for everyone, guys. Wish there was. But if we were to ever plant further away, like if we wanted to go to Cedarburg or something like that, I think from the very beginning, we would say, I think because of just distance, this needs to probably be its own separate identity, you know, something like that. We'd look at doing more of a pure church plant rather than a site. It may be a site for a time, but it'd be a site with a timeline that would be saying, okay, in 2 years, we want you to be independent. Now, people have asked me, is Jackson ever going to be independent? Is Kewaskum ever going to be independent? If they want to be, we'd let them go tomorrow. But no one is asking that. Mm-hmm. No one in the congregation is asking that. No, certainly the staff isn't asking that. Mm-hmm. And we just enjoy a certain degree of real unity and camaraderie. And we realize each site does have its own vibe because it's their own people who go there. So if you go to Kewaskum, it's going to feel a little different than if you're in Jackson. But at the end of the day, everyone knows that we're about these core values that make us Kettlebrook. We're all about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that there are certain things that when you cut us, this is what we bleed. And so, that helps out. Yeah. And these are all good questions. I didn't even have to look at my notes. I feel the questions.
If I can add to that. I kept thinking, earlier, at the minimum, prayer session with the morning. Interaction. Man, I'm getting it.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, wow, you know what I mean? Because there's so much, we have so many questions here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you more about the virtual, what I termed the virtual church. Is that the same as what we're talking about, like, what were we just talking about?
When you say virtual church, I'm unfamiliar. Oh, video. Okay. Yeah.
As opposed to being there physically.
Yeah. You know, I think we need to, the longer I go in this gig, the more organic my definition of church becomes. And it's really boiling down to a community of people who are redeemed by Jesus, who are on mission with Jesus. Okay? So that's the church is always about being on mission. Now, if that's a group of 15 people and they say, we're going to get together and we're going to watch Andy Stanley collectively on Wednesday nights or Sunday morning or something like that, and then we're going to figure out what we're going to do. You need to have, at some point, you need to say, you know, what are we going to do with this? How are we on mission with God? And you need to be able to do all the one another's. So, like the big diagram that everybody who's in leadership at our church know, that this is how we see the church. There's three different levels, and all three gatherings, you know, speak to this, is that there's an entry point. If our input in here is people, and we want to see fully devoted followers of Jesus out here, what's the process
that we want to see people go through to become fully devoted followers? Well, the main thing is that we start off with relationships. We want people to be in relationships with people who are far from God. We're like, people, if all you have in your lives are Christians and you're with Christian every day of your life, you're out of balance. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. So if we're followers of Jesus, then we need to be friends with sinners as well, far from God. So, and what we say, if you have a relationship with the non-believers and you come to the point where you get up the gumption and the courage to invite them to church, then our promise to you is that we will provide you with a gathering place, an environment where you can then bring them. And this is an Andy Stanley phrase, where the cringe factor is really low. Okay, so where you finally get to the point where you ask a friend to church, and then you get there, and Mike is speaking on demon possession. You know, it's like, oh man, I finally to come, and now it's like, we had a gal in our church who was new to Kettlebrook, came to faith, and she's like, Mike, why do you say, if you're not a member of this church, Kettlebrook isn't your home church, then you just let that offering basket just pass you by. We don't want you to feel any obligation at all to give. And she's like, then I brought my friend. And I'm like, Mike, please don't forget to say it. Please don't forget to say it. Please. And she's like, and then you said it. But for the first time I realized why you say that, because I had my friend sitting next to me who's new, and I didn't want her to feel like she was getting hit up for money. So gatherings, we're always going to try to get you into a small group down here, because we say life change happens best in small groups. And that I say, you can be at a gathering as many times as you want. You can go, you can sing loud, you can give money, and your life won't be changed any bit. Okay? Happens all the time. Okay? But it's very hard to be in a small group where you're sitting across the table from somebody and they're asking you, how's your marriage doing? How can I pray for you? And not have some life change begin to happen. So this is all, when there's good soil, the good soil just naturally filters down. When there's responsiveness to the Word of God, it just naturally filters down. And then you get down here to what we call huddles. Huddles are discipleship groups. They're either all men or all women. And they're smaller groups, like about 4, 5, 6. And this is where the real openness, accountability, training, equipping takes place. When you have a site, you need to have, this is Kettlebrook's plan for seeing disciples made. Okay? If you come and you say, we want to start a Kettlebrook site, this is our plan to see, people become fully devoted followers of Jesus.